Earlier this week, there was a death, tragic death in Boston. A 74-year-old man, to the best of my knowledge, still unidentified. Very little newspaper coverage on this. The accident occurred at 8:10, I'm told, on Monday morning at the intersection of Arlington and Tremont Streets. The man was described as an Asian male. But I've seen no follow-up stories on it. I've seen no identification as if almost it didn't exist. Well, I think it's an important story. There was one article that said sun glare might have been involved. As a result of that, we did an hour the other night. I forget which night it was. I think it was on Monday night. On the dangers, what I perceive as the dangers of riding bicycles in Boston in the middle of winter. And we have invited Pete Stidman of the Boston Cyclists Union to join us tonight. And Pete is here with us tonight. Pete, welcome. Welcome to Nightside. How are you?
Thanks for having me, Dan.
Move right up to that microphone, just about an inch or two off. It'll be great. Tell us, first of all, the Boston Bicyclists Union. How big? What is it? Give us some idea.
Sure. It's the Boston Cyclists Union.
Excuse me.
We started up in January of 2010 just to focus on issues for cyclists in the city of Boston only. And we have a mailing list of about 2,500 people, most of them in Boston, and we have about 200 paid members so far.
And you tell me that your background used to be a reporter for one of the papers in Dorchester?
Yes, I used to work as the news editor for the Dorchester Reporter for a couple of years.
And you're a biking enthusiast?
I'm more of a commuter. I use it to get around. It's a utilitarian thing. I've just always, ever since I moved to Boston.
Do you drive a car at all?
No, I don't.
Okay. Ever driven? Ever had
I'm not
a car?
Against it. But,
no, I understand. No, that's fine. It's your choice.
Yes.
Never been a car owner or?
I have. I grew up in Denver, and as most people know, that's a really spread out suburban style city. And I drove for many years, went through a bunch of cars.
Okay. Let's start off with my argument, and you can say whatever you want in this. I think that anyone who is living in Boston and is driving a bicycle in the wintertime is putting themselves in a tremendously dangerous position. Obviously, the individual tragedy on Monday morning, 74-year-old man, I have no idea who was at fault in that accident. It may have been an accident where there was no fault. Mm-hmm. This has been a very tough month. By the way, it's 29 degrees out there tonight. We haven't had a January thaw. It doesn't look like we're going to have a January thaw. The roads are narrow anyway. They're winding. I just think that bicycling, like golfing here in the Northeast, put the clubs away on December 1st, break them out at the end of March. Same way with a bike.
Well, I mean, I would agree that for a novice cyclist, you would not want to start in the middle of a Boston winter. I think, though, that for those of us who ride all the time, bike to work every day, and like I've been biking for, since I was 6 years old, okay. and I've been commuting with my bike for maybe 13 years. You develop a certain skill set, wide peripheral vision. You're very alert. You know a lot of techniques to avoid a whole bunch of different situations that you've been in before. So it can be done safely. It's of course not our choice. I'm sure all of us would like to bike in the summer a lot more than the
middle. What percentage of the people who are riding bikes in Boston in the winter, and I say in a commentary tomorrow, this is Boston, not Phoenix, because it is Boston specific. Yeah. What percentage of the riders who are out bicycling around Boston this winter do you think have biking experience equivalent to yourself?
It's hard to say.
I know, what do you think? I mean, you're an observer. You got good peripheral vision. I'm sure that you've seen some great bicyclists out there and maybe a few. I'm just curious, do the novices put their bikes away?
You know, it's hard to really tell who's a novice and who's experienced from just looking at them. I mean, obviously, you can look at a guy who has the spandex and the helmet
and all that gear. He might really be a novice. You know, sometimes the guy at the golf course with the most expensive clubs is the worst golfer.
That's true. So you have that point. But also, people who don't have all those accoutrements, they may have been riding for a long time, too. So it's really, I think, one of the ways that I can tell is if somebody's riding the wrong way down the street or doing something obviously stupid. other than that, it's really hard for me to say.
Okay, let me just hit a number of topics real quickly. Since you are the, is your title president or spokesperson? What is the
director?
Title? Director. Okay, and yours, I should say, is an unpaid position, so it's not as if you're in this to make $1 million. You're spending a lot of time on an issue that is important.
Quite the opposite.
What's that?
Quite the opposite
okay.
So far.
So now I've read some of the materials from your group, which is again is only a year old.
Mm-hmm.
And is it the largest bicycling group in Boston, advocacy group?
Well, we have a statewide group, which is MassBike.
Right, and I've had the representatives of them in as well.
Yeah, and they've been around a lot longer and have more members.
Okay, and you have a mission statement, which is interesting. It says, we envision a Boston that is world-renowned for year-round cycling. A place where people ride for fun, exercise, and transportation. All Bostonians, men, women, children, and seniors from every neighborhood, use a network of safe and accessible bicycle routes to school, work, and play each day. Children ride to school, men and women pedal by in work clothes, and seniors wheel along at a more relaxing pace on bicycle lanes, bicycle boulevards, and cycle tracks. I know what bicycle lanes are. I'm not sure what bicycle boulevards and bicycle tracks. I'll get you to define those in a moment. With bicycles commonplace, residents are healthier and have reduced levels of cardiovascular disease, asthma, and obesity. They also have more expendable income, more free time, greater choice, a better looking, no, I've added that in, and how they move about their city. Transit is well-funded and integrated to support cyclists and pedestrians, providing an alternate means of travel during the winter. The city is greener, less pavement, more open space, gardens, parks, and outdoor piazzas. In this city, automobiles are not the automatic choice of transportation for most people, and traffic is slower and safer and combines respectfully with all other modes of transportation. Sounds kind of idealistic to me.
It is shooting for the moon.
It is definitely shooting for the moon. What's a bike boulevard? We know what the bike lanes are. We'll talk about those in a second. What's a bike boulevard?
A bike boulevard, which there's a few of these in like California, Oakland, different places, is essentially just a street, usually a side street that doesn't get a lot of traffic anyways, and they'll do things to prevent traffic from going in there, that is just a priority bike boulevard.
So no cars, just bikes?
Well, no, cars can come in there, but if a bike is in front of them, they're supposed to go the bike speed.
Oh, so therefore, so when there's a couple of bicyclists driving in front of you, because we've had complaints here, people, you know, are out on a Saturday morning trying to get their kids to soccer practice.
Right, but as I said, this is a quiet residential street already, so if your kids are out playing, it's actually helps calm traffic. And
yeah, but if you've got to get somewhere, okay. And then what are cycle tracks?
Cycle tracks are completely or physically separated facilities. So there's a lot of different ways they can do that. It could be a two-tiered sidewalk with a level for bikes and then another level for walking. Or it could be, as in Montreal, if folks have been up there, there's a curb that separates a little part of the street for bikes to ride down, and there's no way a car could hit them until they get to an intersection.
All right, my guest is Pete Stidman. As you can probably figure out, Pete and I are probably not going to agree on a lot of stuff, but I want to give him an absolute opportunity to make his point. I'll try to make some of mine, and most importantly, you can make yours. If you're a bicycle enthusiast, you're welcome to call in. If you are someone who has taken another point of view, it doesn't matter, 617-254-1030, 888-WBZ-1030, 888-929-1030. We'll be back with more conversation about biking in Boston and the implications for you, whether you're a bicyclist or a motorist. We're talking about biking in Boston. My guest is Pete Stidman. Pete is the director of the Boston Cyclist Union, a group of about 2,500 people who have contacted them, are bikers, bike riders, bicyclists, about 200 paid members. What's the membership fee?
About $35.
And what does that get you?
Gets you a card. You can get discounts at various businesses, a couple of bike stickers.
Now, you told me one of my listeners wanted to know, you've rode your bike.
I did, and it was an interesting experience riding in here. I mean, actually, for Boston, just for context, the station is in a really car-centric area, and I came up the back way on a street.
Came up Western Avenue?
No, yeah, came up Western, but I turned onto Speedway to get to your...
That was a mistake. That's a bumpy road.
Right, but I was surprised to see a street called Speedway.
Yeah, well, it was Speedway because there was a Speedway Auto Motors back there.
Also, I wanted to make a note to the station manager or the guys in charge around here. There's no bike rack when you're coming in the front door there.
There is none.
So right? I had to
As a matter of fact, I've advocated that we don't have a bike rack. But anyway, and you've been doing this for, you said to me, seriously, 10 or 15 years. How many times have you been hit by cars?
So I've been bike commuting for 15 years on the road every day. I've been hit 4 or 5 times, and none of them were serious.
Okay, whose fault in those 4 or 5 times? The cars?
I would say the cars, yes, but of course I'm a biased opinion.
What would the motorists say?
Well, actually, the last time that I got in an accident, it was a situation where it was raining. I was coming down Dorchester Avenue here. There was basically a traffic jam and the traffic going my way. And some of the cars parted, and another car came to turn left and go into the driveway of a Dunkin' Donuts, which we have a lot of around here. And I bounced off the front bumper of the car, and it wasn't too bad. I mean, I fell and I got the wind knocked out of me. But what I remember most is the driver getting out of the car and saying, "Why'd you hit me?" So, I mean,
I wasn't there. I'm not going to take some high speed.
Yes. I mean, I think everybody has their opinion in those things.
No, I understand. I understand. All right. So your position, let me just very quickly, before we get to some phone calls, in 617-254-1030, 888-WBC-1030. It's pretty clear to me, reading the materials from the Boston Cyclist Union, that your group, and I'm going to use the phrase militant, which you're probably not going to accept, okay?
Yes,
but I'm going to say is that you are a group who really firmly believes in your rights to use the roads. And you have politicized, I think you have coalesced politically. I think you have done a very good job from what I can understand in terms of, for example, getting bike lanes in Boston and most of the communities around here. I assume that it takes a little work, that these bike lanes that we've seen popping up do not occur spontaneously.
Of course, actually, the city, though, is very pro-biking right now. And most of those bike lanes were merely extensions of what they had already planned. So we helped pull them into new neighborhoods, I would say. But they had stimulus money to spend.
What I'm trying to get in, and I want to, I'm not trying to put you in a corner here, but
sure.
you folks realize that in strength, there's some strength, and that you are coalescing in order to represent the interest of bicycle riders.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but what I'm saying is I think
I would say that's true. I mean, we would like to have a voice in Boston for cyclists.
A strong voice.
Yes.
Okay. So one of the things now that you have been able to accomplish, mm-hmm. You and other groups too, just not your group, but other groups, the Mass Bikes,
right.
Have been able to get some bike lanes. Okay. So I ask all my friends who are bike riders, and I'll ask you this. Mm-hmm. I know people whose cars have been damaged by bikes. And I've told this story before. A friend of mine in Brighton, warm summer day, his car was hit, not hit hard, but impacted by a bike. He looked around and the bicyclist waved to let him know that no problem, everything was fine. She drove off. When he got home, back of his car, he got out of his car. There's a back light, $115 broken. So the first question I have is, if bicyclists are going to use roads, my position is they should be licensed. Okay, now when I say that, I'm not talking about an exorbitant fee, but I'm talking about some sort of medallion, since they're going to be in the roadways, which would identify them. If I didn't have a license plate on my car, hypothetically, and I had an accident with you, if I was not a moral, ethical person, I might be tempted to drive away. But the fact that I have a license plate in the back of my car probably prevents me from doing that if I was so inclined, because I wouldn't want to have someone take down my license plate number for leaving the scene of an accident.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I think, a reasonable proposal. Are you with me or against me on that?
Well, I agree with your motive, but not your method. So, I think that there does need to be a lot of cyclist education out there. And one way it's done in other countries is to have a class, like say in the fifth grade, that's required for all kids to learn bike safety. And that has a double effect. It teaches kids, and they remember as they go into adulthood how to ride a bike safely.
So then why do we have licenses on cars, Pete? Why do we have licenses on cars, Pete? In other words, what I'm saying is, if you're going to be in the roads with me,
I understand.
And we're going to have an accident, okay?
Yeah.
Of some sort, I want to know who have had an accident with. I have to exchange. If you're in a car and I'm in a car, we got to exchange papers.
Yeah.
The only way that I know who you are is I see your license plate. You show me your license. You show me your registration. I do the same with you. And we're civil about it. So if you're going to be in the roads, I think it's a minimum request. A minimum request, some little medallion of some sort so that you're identified. You're licensed. What's wrong with that?
I guess here's our thing. So the city is on board with this as well, and I think a lot of cities around the country, I'm not saying not licensing, but we're trying to encourage people to ride because what riding does for you is it gives you a physical activity.
You're not answering my question. So doesn't jogging.
I'm trying to answer your question.
So doesn't jogging. So doesn't golf. I'm just saying if you're going to be
on
the roads.
Cycling is a habitual activity. If you're cycling to work, you got a habit there. You don't have to go to the gym.
What does that have to do with licensing?
Well, we feel that licensing would make another barrier to cycling.
Okay, how about this, Pete?
So you have to pay.
You got to put a license on. You got to put a license on your bike, and the license to the bike. Most people have bikes. Bikes today cost how much? A couple hundred bucks at least.
You can start at around 125. Yeah,
a couple hundred bucks for the most part. Okay, so $10 a year. That prohibitive, Pete?
I wouldn't say it's prohibitive, but I think if you are, you have a bike $5 in your basement.
What about $5?
If you have a bike in your basement and you want to take a ride, mm-hmm. and you're saying, well, I didn't get that license yet, then that is.
But what about $5?
It's not really about the cost. It's about the having to do it. So, I think riding a bike is a hard enough habit to develop that,
you're falling into my trap, Pete, because you're not being reasonable, okay? If I said to you, okay, we're not going to charge you, but you've got to put a license on.
I don't think you understand the benefits of cycling,
It's irrelevant. There's a million benefits of walking. There's benefits of jogging. There's benefits of Pilates. That's not the point. The point is that if you're going to be in the road and you're going to have an accident with someone, or if you're going to hit a pedestrian, what compels you to stay there and identify yourself to the pedestrian?
Well, I don't. Nothing. We also have a lot of hit and runs from automobiles.
It's irrelevant to the question, my friend. And again, you're hurting yourself here. I'm telling you, if you would agree to that, you would win some favor. Okay, so you don't want to pay a license fee. You don't even want to have a tag identifying. That's fine.
No
problem.
We're in the middle of an obesity crisis in this country.
Oh, forget it, Pete. You know what? The speech about the obesity and all of that. Then take up jogging, take up running, whatever you want to take up. That's not the point. My next question, what about insurance? If you hit my car, okay, you hit my car or you scrape my car and you do $1,000 worth of damage, who pays for that?
I don't think that's a common occurrence.
I know it may not be a common occurrence, but the question remains. You for some reason, fall off your bike and you scrape the side of my car. And my guy says to me at the auto body shop, $1,000. Who pays for that?
Somebody walking could do the same thing.
I know that. And you know what? An asteroid could fall from outer space as well, okay? That's not the point. The point is, you've done it on your bike. Who pays for the $1,000? Me or you? That's the question.
What if a kid comes up with a tricycle and hits your car? What if a kid comes up with a tricycle?
Well, an asteroid, whatever you want. You don't want to answer that question either.
Phrase it again.
I want to know, you impact my car. You're sneaking through traffic, which is fine. You're being safe. And for some reason, it can happen. Some guy goes to open a door. It was the other guy's fault, maybe. But you avoid him, but you scrape my car and it's $1,000. Okay, I have a $500 deductible. Let's say it's $500. Who pays for that damage to my car?
Is that damage to that car, which we already admitted is not a common occurrence, something that is important enough to risk the health of thousands of people?
You know what? You're nuts. You're absolutely nuts. We're going to take a pause. You are so hurting your position right now, because what you're doing is you're absolutely responding ridiculously to good to honest, sincere questions. I'm not going to harangue you.
I understand your question, but I think the benefit of cycling outweighs
it's
damage
got nothing
to
do with the benefit of anything, okay? The benefit of me driving to
the
car.
I think health is an important issue. You don't think health is an important issue?
No, of course I think health is an important issue. I mean, don't...
Well, do you know... I mean, so they've done a study in the Netherlands, for instance.
I don't care about that. I really don't. 617-254-1030, 888-WBZ-1030, 888-929-1030. Back with Pete Stibben right after this. My guest is Pete Stidman. He's with the Boston Cyclist Union. He's the director of that group. I have been asking him some questions. I'm not intending to harangue you, but I'm going to tell you right up front what I believe. And that is that if bicyclists are going to be on city streets and they're going to have lanes designated for their use on city streets, they should be licensed. There should be some way of identifying the bicyclist or the bike that is being driven by that bicyclist. In case of an accident with a car or pedestrian, they should have some form of insurance, probably going to be very minimal insurance, because I would suspect that when you think the amount of damage that a bicycle could do compared to an automobile is going to be a lot less, minimal insurance, some form of annual, as they say, license fee. Doesn't have to be a lot, but primarily so that if there is an accident, and maybe some form of a small excise tax because you're using the roads and now some of the roads. And as they say, every time I ask you the question, you're going to tell me about, well, the health advantages of bike riding. I get that.
No, actually, you didn't let me say it.
You said it five times.
They've proven, they've had a study now that for people who bike to work, they're 39% less likely to die of any cause after 15 years.
That's irrelevant to my question.
Is it irrelevant to society?
You know, there's probably a study somewhere that says if older people bowl, they're in better physical condition. That's irrelevant to my question. My question is, if you are on a road and you cause an accident or involved in an accident, should there be a way in which someone can identify you? You seem not to say yes. You want to duck the question. If you want to answer directly and just give me a no, I'll accept it. But I don't want some sort of you're more healthy.
I wouldn't mind seeing some studies on what that does to the cycling
studies. I don't need studies. You're on the road. You should be identified. You should pay some form of. You should have insurance. The friend of mine who spends $115 because someone breaks the backlight of his car, is that fair to that driver?
No.
No, of course it isn't. Okay. Now what would have compelled that bike rider to do the right thing? Maybe if there was a little license on the back of her bike, she might have said, you know what, I can ride away now. No one's ever going to see me. Anyway, let's do this. I want to get to callers. You know my position. I now know your position. Let's listen to the callers, and we'll try to move as many folks as we can. Started off with Glenn in Boston. Glenn, welcome. You're first this hour with Pete Stidman of the Boston Cyclist Union.
Yes, thanks, Dan, for taking my call. First-time user. And Pete, try to keep getting a word in as you keep getting interrupted by Dan.
Glenn, let me ask you, would you answer my question since Pete, I don't think, did? Should bicyclists, you can give me a yes or no, and I don't care what your answer is, Glenn. I assume you're a bicyclist, a bicycling enthusiast?
I drive a car and I ride a bicycle, and I've used both almost every day this week, sir, yes.
Good. Okay, so, well, if you're using a bike in the middle of the winter, I'd say you're a bicycling enthusiast. Do you have a license on your car?
Do I have a license on my car? Absolutely.
Okay, you have a license plate, I meant to say.
I am fully licensed and insured and follow all the state laws and regulations.
Now, let me ask you this. Do you think that you should also have some sort of license to identify you when you're riding a bike? Yes or no? That would be adequate.
My answer to it would be your question. You're not really asking your question fairly, so let me try and do it.
No,
for
do
you.
Me a favor, okay?
Question,
just answer my.
No,
do
no,
me a
sir,
favor, Glenn.
Glenn,
do me a favor. Yeah. I do this for a living, okay? This is my profession.
Yeah.
I'll ask a question, and you can give me an answer. Don't tell me how to ask my question. You have a license plate on
That's
your car.
Fine. Yes, sir.
Okay. Should you have some form of, I'm not going to use the word license plate, but some form of identification, a small little plate on your bike so that if you and I have an accident, I can figure out who you are? Yes or no?
Yes, I think that if you want every single person who uses a road to be identifiable and have insurance, then I think bicyclists should be included. But, Dan, that would include pedestrians.
No, it doesn't include
they're
pedestrians.
Legal. Yes, it does. They're legal users of the road.
No, it doesn't include pedestrians because pedestrians cannot cross the road except in a crosswalk.
Of course they can.
Okay. So, therefore, Glenn.
Dan, if your point is.
Here's my point, Glenn. Do me a favor. Let me tell you what my point is. Bye, Glenn. Goodbye. Goodbye, Glenn. See ya. My point is simply this. A pedestrian is not operating a vehicle on the road. as a car driver I am, and as a bicycle driver Glenn is. And if you're a bike rider, be prepared to answer the question.
There's
okay?
a vast difference in those vehicles that you
it
got
is
on the road.
True. There is a vast difference. You're absolutely correct.
My bike weighs
correct.
20 pounds. Your
That's
car
right.
wears 2,000
There's
pounds.
No doubt about the difference. And there right. should be, and I'm not suggesting that you should pay $2,000 a year to insure your bike. Not suggesting that at all. But I do think there should be some minimal insurance that a bicycle rider should carry on the bike, because a bicycle can do some damage to either a pedestrian or to a car. That's all I'm saying. I'm the one that has the reasonable position here, Pete. Let's go to James in Malden. Hey, James, how are you?
I'm good, you. How are you doing?
We're doing great. Say hi to Pete Sedman.
Hi, Pete. How are you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Could you speak up a little bit, James? We're having a little bit of a tough time hearing you.
Sorry, I'm on my cell phone. I agree on both sides because, you know, back in college, I was on a bike and everything, traveling around. I understand what you're saying about being insured and stuff, but if you think about it, how many people actually do, you know, randomly go on bikes and stuff? No one's really going to actually, you know, go out there and, you know, set up insurance policy or whatever just to bike a day for a weekend. Like right now, pretty much, I agree with you. If you're not hardcore bicycle person, you should pretty much put it away for the winter because, you know, you can't walk. You can't. Everybody that's walking doesn't even walk on the sidewalk because, you know, all the snow, no one's plowing or anything.
So, James, the question that I asked, and again, if you could, I just want to make sure I understand, and I'm not sure if Pete has figured out where you're coming from. If you are going to be riding your bike, I'm not talking about a little kid driving a tricycle in his yard. I'm talking about someone using the bike to commute to work, to ride the bike as some form of transportation. Should that person have some form of identification? Again, I use the phrase a license tag. Or should they have insurance, some form of minimal insurance?
So how would you define the difference on that? I'd like to
ask
you.
Yeah, that's the thing, too. I kind of agree with what you said right there, because
anyone over the age, I'm going to give it to you right now. Anyone over, you guys have asked me a question, let me give you an answer. Anyone over the age of 16 who uses a bicycle should have to have that bike licensed and insured.
What about one of those people, you know, just take it to, like, the beach and ride?
Same. Could they have an accident? Are they using roads to get to the beach?
No, because I'm talking about, like, if you take your bike on your car and you go take a bike path.
Oh, no. You know what? If you never put
your
bike...
technically, you have to...
James, here's the answer. If you take your bike, put it on a bike rack, drive it to the beach, and then ride along the beach on the bike. I don't know how many people ride on a beach on a bike, but that's okay. If you don't drive on public ways, then you don't have to license your bike. But if you drive... On public ways, you need to have your bike licensed.
Yeah, but like for me, like I said, I once in a while I take my bike out to the beach, like Castle Island, ride around. But you know, everybody's on the sidewalk. You have to be on the road because you know you have a bike.
Yep.
So how would you determine?
Could you hit a pedestrian out there?
Yes.
Then you need insurance. Thanks, James. Appreciate it. 617-254-1030. James in Malden to David in Malden. Dave, how are you?
Pretty good. Dan, how are you?
I'm doing great. Please say hi to Pete Stidman. He's my guest. He's the director of the Boston Cyclist Union.
How are you, Mr. Stidman?
I'm doing well.
Mr. Stidman, the questions that Dan Ray, and I've listened to Dan Ray on the radio for quite a bit, and we've talked quite a bit. His questions are very logical, very straightforward. And it's interesting the way you answer. You answer like our Democratic congressman from Massachusetts. You go around in a circle. You answer your question. You answer like a politician.
Well, there's a lot to take into consideration when you're talking about legislation. I mean, you can't do it in a vacuum and say this is a logical thing without looking at all the ramifications of the legislation you're going to put down.
I asked a very simple
question. But what I mean is...
Yeah, what is the effect of that legislation? You need to look at that.
Wait a minute.
Go ahead, David. Go ahead,
Dave. I'm not talking about legislation. I'm talking... It was a joke.
Well, that's what it would be if for a license.
Wait a minute now. See, you're doing the same thing. If you have a vehicle, and vehicle doesn't have to be motorized, a bicycle is a vehicle, and you and all the other bike riders who have talked to Dan, you answer questions the way you ride your bike and the way you consider drivers. I mean, you're very arrogant toward drivers. When I go down to Harvard Square and around Mass Avenue, it drives me crazy. I mean... You guys don't obey the law. You go through red lights. And
I haven't even gotten any of that, by the way. By the way, Dave, that's a great point.
I think there are definitely some people out there that do us a disservice as a cycling community.
Oh.
But as definitely, I would agree with that. But I think that, you know, as the cycling rate grows and more people get on the road, we have less.
What's a police officer supposed to do? Let's say someone blows through a red light. I think that's the question Dave is asking. And the person has no license. They have no identification. What's a police officer supposed to do with that individual?
Well, I mean, I catch them.
No, so they've caught them. They have no identification. They have no license on the bike. They've just gone through a red light. What does the police officer do?
The officer
has a choice. Book them and take them to the jail? To jail?
The officer has a choice of giving him a warning or giving him a ticket.
He wants to give him a ticket.
Or her.
Yep. Wants to give him or her a ticket. They don't have a license, Pete. They don't have an identification on it. What's the officer to do?
That's a question for law enforcement. I don't know
Dave, you know what? I think Pete just made your point. He ducked another question. Thanks, David. Thanks. Good night. 617-254-1030, 888-WBZ-1030, 888-929-1030. My guest is Pete Stidman. He's the director of the Boston Cyclists Union. As you can see, Pete and I see the world very differently. Would you agree with me on that?
Yeah, we're on different sides of the metal machine that you drive in.
And I'm struggling with, if you want to tell me that bike riders or bicyclists should not have insurance, I don't have a problem with you saying that. But don't give me a song, juke and jive. Give me a straight answer and say no.
All cyclists should have health insurance.
But health insurance, and again, you're giving me kind of a cutesy answer, and what you're coming across is, you're coming across, in my humble opinion, as kind of a guy who's being, I'll say it directly, I think you're coming across a wise guy. I got health insurance, but if I'm in a car accident tonight, my health insurance is not going to pay for the damage that I might do to another car. You know that, and you can sit there and smirk at me, but that's what I'm talking about. And if you don't want to answer the question, you don't have to. That's why you were invited to come in.
How much damage do you think a bike could do to a car, potentially?
I don't know. You could scrape the side of a car. You could do $1,000. Maybe we'll get an auto body guy to call up. How's that?
I mean,
could a bike do $200?
Is that the
bucks?
Kind of thing that we would require insurance for? I mean,
yes.
A car.
Yes.
A car can do horrendous damage.
That's irrelevant.
A car can take lives.
That's right. Yeah. That's why cars are insured. Look, there have been pedestrians killed by bicycle drivers. I can go find the stories on the web. Okay.
I know that's true.
All right. Good. Let's go to Arthur in the car. Hey, Arthur, how are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great. Say hi to Pete Stidman. I'm not going to harangue him, but I'm going to give you an opportunity to ask a question, and I'm going to try to make him answer your question.
Well, I actually don't want to ask him a question because I've heard him dance the poker already.
Okay.
Over the past year, we've heard this subject quite a few times, Dan, and even the last time you've had it on, there was a gentleman who was an avid bike rider who admitted that they should have some kind of insurance and plates on there, and I agree also. I always have.
Well, I think within any community, within the biking community, there probably are different people who agree. I was hoping that Pete would agree, because I think that with that agreement, there then would be better relations between the driving public and bike riders. Again, I come up to a red light. I can't tell you how many times a bicycler has blown through that red light.
Yeah,
if I do that, I'm subject to being arrested or being stopped by the police.
What we're trying to do is base a lot more on, Carl.
Arthur.
Arthur, what we're trying to do is we look to examples in Europe and to other cities in America that have higher cycling rates, and I don't know of a single one that has kept the licensing laws. The question for us, if you want to understand our perspective, is how do we get from here to there? Because we're trying to get more people on the road, more people healthy, enjoying their lives. The quality of life in the city goes up. More pedestrians feel safe.
You're saying healthy, and you're not answering Dan's questions. I mean, here we are. We're putting money into bicycle paths. I live in Watertown, and I go to Belmont, and I see this guy every morning, and he tells me I'm number one. Every time we come to the same light, he goes through the light, and I have to wait for the light. If he's not going to stay in that lane and honor the rules of the road, then you know what? He becomes a target.
I'm interested so when you see that cyclist cross the street, are there other cars? Is he endangering himself or others?
Yes, he is. Oh, absolutely he is. So that's why there should be a tag so I can call it.
Aren't bike riders supposed to obey red lights? I mean, when I go into an intersection and there's no car coming in either direction, and I go through the intersection and there's nobody coming in the other direction, and the police officer pulls me over and says, "You just blew the red light." Officer, there were no cars coming in either direction. I still blew the red light. Arthur, thank you.
Thank you. Good
Thanks.
Night, Dan.
Good night. 617-254-1030. Quick break. Back after this. We're going to try to get to as many callers as we can. Let me go to Rosemary in Millbury. Rosemary, welcome to Nightside. How are you? Say hi to Pete Stidman.
I'm well, Dan. How are you?
Great.
Hi, Pete.
Hey, Rosemary.
I just had a couple comments. I think I would say no to the licensing, but only because I think it would be a logistical nightmare to enforce. I think it would unfortunately make some people not even, but that, you know, the police officers couldn't be pulling everyone on a bike over or whatever.
There's a lot of other police work to do.
It wouldn't be done. It wouldn't be done for that purpose, Rosemary.
Okay.
It would be done for the purpose if you were involved in an accident or if your car was hit by a bike.
Okay.
You then would be able to know who the person is, or if somebody on a bike went through a red light and the police officer wanted to pull that person over. And in terms of the logistics, all you got to do is walk down to the, ride your bike down to the police station, pay $10, and get a license.
But you do have to enforce it, otherwise people wouldn't do it.
Well, right. Of course, if you see someone out there, look, if we see tonight a car, if we see an automobile on the road tonight without a license plate, they get pulled over. If we see an automobile out there without an up-to-date inspection sticker, they get pulled over. It would be the same way here. Go
I'd
ahead.
I'd love to hear what the BPD would say about that. They get a lot of their priorities.
Can I just say something, gentlemen?
Yeah, go ahead, yeah.
So here's my thing, though. I do think that a bicyclist who causes an accident is absolutely, totally responsible and should be, I don't know how you would do it, should be made to pay for damages. Now, I'm not really sure. I know on the water that, you know, wind-powered boats have the right of way, blah, 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 and I'm not really sure if there is anything like that with, like, you know, pedestrians
do
and
boats,
bikes or whatever.
Do boats have to be licensed, Rosemary?
I would assume that they need
They do. They something. Do. They're licensed by the Coast Guard.
Okay. All right. So I do think that a bicyclist who causes an accident, just like a person who would cause property damage to something else, walking, should be responsible for the damage. And I understand that
I
it would be small. I do understand it would be small. Pete, you need to stop dancing around his questions because it's really, really offensive. And it you do lose.
I'm trying to describe
the way we
think about it. And,
no, you're giving me a long, involved answer which avoids the question.
Are.
Rosemary's
and,
correct.
We look at the bigger picture.
Actually, Dan,
go ahead, Rosemary.
Okay, so here's my thing, though. One of my big things is, and I'm not a bicyclist, I was married to one.
Okay.
But my bigger picture would be we need to get off of oil. So if we could get people to be doing things that would decrease our dependency on the Middle East, that would be wonderful. But I think we all need to be a little respectful, and we all need to come at it. It's not just a health issue, Pete, and I do think you're being a little ridiculous here on some of your dancing.
All right, Rosemary, I got a bunch of callers. I think you made your points. You made them well. Thank you for calling.
Okay, thanks.
Good night. Let me grill quickly here. Go to Ed in Walpole. Ed, how are you?
Dan, I'm wonderful. It's nice to see you back on the cycling issue.
Well, absolutely, my friend. This is Ed Ryan, who is a friend of mine. Ed, we are really tight on time. Let me ask you, and I'm just going to ask you as directly as I did to Pete, what about licensing, small license for bikes and insurance? Yes or no?
No.
That's no-no?
No, no to both. I mean, we might as well stop licensing joggers, dog walkers, walkers,
skateboarders.
The vast majority of cyclists are not involved in accidents, don't create a hazard on the roadway. I mean, Dan, I appreciate that there is a small minority of cyclists, whether they're committed cyclists or occasional cyclists, that create problems for everybody on the roadway. They create problems for motorists. They create problems for other cyclists.
Sure.
But the vast majority of people riding bikes, in terms of causing accidents.
Let's say, Ed, there is a cyclist, and I'm not saying that I agree with you, the vast majority of cyclists are out there to get from point A to point B safely. But let's assume you do have the cyclist out there who is riding their bike irrationally, or let's say flipping the bird at somebody, okay?
Right.
Wouldn't it be nice if that do you think the cyclist would be less likely to flip the bird at somebody if they had a small little plate on the back of the bike where someone could be identified?
No, because
I think so.
People are flipping one another off in automobiles with the license plates on the back of the car on a regular basis. I mean, you can't. I mean, I commute hundreds of miles a week. You really can't. I mean, you can't drive anywhere without somebody doing that. I don't think the license or the fact that their identity may become known would inhibit bad behavior.
Well, what about in terms of somebody who's riding a bicycle dangerously, where they're either endangering themselves or endangering someone else? Do you think that would inhibit?
No, I don't think it would because it doesn't really inhibit people who are driving automobiles. I mean, the fact that we have insurance, licenses, license plates.
Well, let's follow that argument and let's get rid of insurance and license. Let's do this, Ed. Let's get rid of insurance and licenses for everyone. Let's just keep it. Let's make it the Wild West out there.
There is enforcement going on.
In the state of New Hampshire,
you don't need insurance. You got to put up a bond.
You don't need insurance. It's a self-insured situation.
Right.
I mean, there's different arguments for that, but in terms of licensing, the average cyclist, as we've discussed in the past,
yep.
It just doesn't make any sense. And I don't see licensing, insurance, as a behavioral control.
Well, I don't see it as a behavioral control. I see it as a way in which people can be identified when there's a problem. Ed, I hate to do this to you because you're my friend, but I got a bunch of callers.
You got a lot of callers. You got a great show. I just wanted to chime in. Thank you for taking the call.
Thanks,
if I could speak to that for a minute, the Boston Police Department is doing enforcement out there, and they've been able to pull over cyclists.
One day they wrote 75 tickets on the BU.
There was 2 days, 50 and 75 or
whatever.
Yeah, there was a guy that I was told an anecdotal story that flipped the officers the bird and rode away, and the officers put out the APB. And caught the guy downtown, and he got a stronger ticket for that.
Well, see, that's great because the police officers...
So, I mean, it is possible to do enforcement without licenses.
Yeah, when someone flips the bird off to me, you don't drive, you don't have a car. Mm-hmm. So what I can do is I can call all my friends and put out an APB. Obviously, the police can do that. So if someone is that stupid on a bike to flip a police officer off, do you think they'll maybe not flip me off? Or other drivers or women? Bob in Rhode Island. Hey, Bob. Welcome. You're next to the Nightside. Say hi to Pete Stidman.
Hi, how you doing?
Not bad.
Okay, when I was younger, I had a Raleigh bicycle.
Okay, Bob, we got about a minute left in the hour, so you got to be real quick with me. I know I know it's late.
No, anyway, what I'm saying is we had to take a bike safety course out here in Rhode Island, and we had to put a plate on it.
I would like to see us get back to that, Bob, for kids as well as for adults.
The bicycles back then, they weren't titanium framed or anything like that, but they did provide some kind of safety valve to be able to, and if the bike was stolen, at least they could, approach it and find that plate and away you went.
Good idea. Good. That's another benefit. Bob, I got to run. Thank you very much. We're tight on time. Okay, I'm going to get Kelly in Milford. Kelly, we have less than a minute, but I want to get you.
I will be very quick, I promise.
Go ahead.
I consider bicycling a recreational sport. I also consider boating a recreational sport. When I purchased my boat this summer and the trailer that went with it, I had to call my insurance company and paid no fee to add my trailer in order to use the roadways for my boat. Therefore, your argument about households no water, it's a matter of recreation.
Well, let me ask you, when you use your recreation, do you put your boat, do you just drive up and down the street, do you put the boat in the water, Kelly?
I do.
You
absolutely.
Do. Do you have to license your boat in the water? Do you have to pay insurance on your boat in the water? That's the difference. Thanks.
And it's
thanks
for a
good try though,
insurance.
Kelly. Very good try. Thank you very much, Pete. We're flat out of time. Pete Stidman, I'd love to have you back if you want to come back.
Absolutely. Anytime.
I think you would do yourself a world of good to think about how you handle yourself tonight and answer the questions more directly.
And I would think you want to think about the bigger picture.
Well, you know what? I have thought about that big picture, and I've dealt with many, many people on this issue and others, and I think that politicians as well as advocates like yourself do themselves good by answering questions.